We're going to be in Luke chapter 24, beginning verse 13. Reading from the English Standard Version. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and what they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going to go on further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And when he sat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did our hearts not burn within us while we talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11, those who were with them, gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." Then they all told what had happened on the road, how it was known to them in the breaking of the bread. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. So as we look at our text this morning, I have a question. Have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever been discouraged? I couldn't help but think as we sang our song in ASL this morning about my daughter. And whenever our daughter was born, anybody here who's a parent, you get the little bundle of joy and you're excited. And I remember with all of our other children, she was our fourth, one of the days they come in, they take her away and say, "We have to do a hearing screening, a newborn hearing screening." And they come back in and said, "She didn't pass, but don't worry. It happens a lot of times with newborns. They get fluid on their ears. Just come back in a couple of days. It'll be fine." So a couple days go by, and we came back. She failed again, at which point we started to get a little bit concerned. And then I had a friend. He goes, "Oh, don't worry. My brother had the exact same thing happen. They went to Pittsburgh. It's no big deal." So honestly, I never even dreamt what was going to happen that day. And I remember we went in, and if I recall correctly, we were struggling to get her to go to sleep because she has to be asleep to do the test. And finally, the test comes back, and I remember they came in, they sat down, and if you've ever been at a doctor's diagnosis, sometimes you have to try to interpret what they just said. And I never forget it. She looks and she says, "The results are back. Your daughter has bilateral, neurosensorial, severe to profound hearing loss." And I stopped, and I'm like, okay, bilateral, I think that means both. Didn't really know what sensorial and neuro meant. And I said, "What's severe to profound?" So I just remember looking at a lady, I'm like, "Is she deaf?" She said, "Yes, she's deaf." And then he started showing us how, like, she had no response to any other things. And I just never forget, my wife and I driving home, we stopped to get something to eat, and I remember us just crying because we didn't understand at the time, but later on we came to learn it. Like, that's a normal response because there's a loss. You know, my daughter, things get through your mind like, my daughter's never going to hear music. We love to sing, and I had a weird thought of, like, you know, if Lord blesses her with a husband, she won't be able to do the father-daughter dance. She won't even hear anything. You know, just weird things like that. And so I just never saw it coming. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced a disappointment, a discouragement, an event that turned out like you never dreamed would? I think we all have. And as we turn to our text and we look at Luke 24, if you were here last week, we looked at how the people celebrated Jesus entered Jerusalem. They recognized him as the Messiah. They said, Hosanna to the Lord in the highest. You know, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. They recognized that he was the Mashiach, the Messiah, because it was prophesied that the Messiah would come riding on a donkey. And they worshiped. And as we read in our text this morning, these two men were probably there. They said, we were excited when Jesus was a great prophet and he did miracles. And if you remember, just 6 months prior, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And the religious leaders were growing more and more angry because Jesus didn't follow their rules. He never violated Scripture. Maybe we'll learn a little bit later that he followed the law completely. He was perfect. But he was threatening their system. And these men were excited, but how are they here in our text? It says they were sad. One translation said they were downcast. So they're walking along depressed because they thought Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And what was the context of the Jewish people when Jesus came? You know, it's probably hard for us to imagine, but just stop and think. If China or Russia, another country, invaded the U.S., what if they overthrew us, and everywhere you went today, every town you entered, there were enemy soldiers, and you had to obey them, do whatever they wanted? What if they put heavy tax, and you went to work and gave all your money to China? And they were just really tired of the oppression. They were looking and longing for the Messiah to set them free. And they thought they found him. They worshiped him a week ago. That he was the one. They were excited. And then they were disappointed because it didn't turn out as they thought. They said they thought he came to redeem Israel. They thought he came to set them free, reestablish them as a sovereign nation, as God's sovereign people. And instead, it didn't end the way they thought. And they walked away sad. But then, as Jesus walked with them, I love how it says that he went to the prophets, because the Old Testament speaks of Jesus. I saw one of Abe's books says, I think, 1,000 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Because he's like, look to the Old Testament. It was clear I came to die. I didn't come to overthrow Rome. Why? Because Rome was not their greatest enemy. Their own sin was their greatest enemy. We all, from Adam and Eve, our greatest enemy is sin. And it causes death and separation forever. He wasn't concerned about heavy taxation by the Romans. He wasn't concerned that they might make you carry their pack, 70, 80-pound pack for a mile. That's not what he was concerned about. He was concerned about their own hearts being hard. You know, it's amazing because as he says through Scripture, it's obvious he's the Messiah. And who would have known that Old Testament Scripture is the best? The scribes and the Pharisees. Now, we do know some believed. You know, the ones who I believe truly sought Yahweh found him. I believe if you truly seek the truth, they found him. But the ones who are stuck in their religious system missed him. And he's like, the Scriptures point to me. And, you know, it's amazing that that crowd was so excited that Jesus was there. Their Messiah had come. What did the chief priests and Pharisees, what did they do? They had Jesus betray him in the middle of the night. I just, you know, picture, like, usher him in the middle of the night. They try him, because you remember, as Jesus was on their trial, the rooster crowed 3 times and Peter denied him. So they rushed it through, they pushed it through, and they sacrificed the Son of God. And what was people's reactions? We read right here, they were sad. They thought, wow, we thought he was it. And I know I've felt that way in life. You feel down and you feel discouraged. And oftentimes we were just talking, I think it was Wednesday night, you know, you read through the Psalms. How many times is the psalmist down and depressed and, you know, lamenting about his situation? And what changes? His situation doesn't change. What changes? He turns his focus to God. He starts talking about the God of Jacob and the God of Isaac and the God of Abraham, who was and is and always will be. And, you know, this morning as we wrap up, I'm on a tight time schedule, and I like to talk. But as we wrap up and we think about, you know, life is discouraging. There are times where it doesn't go the way we want. And it's this eternal focus. It's the focus that Christ has risen. That is what gives us hope, because it doesn't matter how long you live, you're going to die. That's what we all face. 10 out of 10 people still die. And we look forward to the second coming of Christ. And if we were living in Chinese occupation, how many people would be praying for the second coming of Christ? May the Messiah come and set us free. But not just from that, but set us free from everything. Because this world was broken. We broke it. God created perfection. Adam and Eve, and we're the same. We're sinners just like they were. We broke perfection. You know, when people challenge my God and say, what kind of God allows cancer in children? What kind of God allows genocide? God, we broke that. We created cancer. We created violence and hatred and evil. We did that. We broke his perfect creation. And that's why we look forward to Christ. When we're discouraged and disappointed, we look forward to the second coming of Christ, because what's he going to bring? He's going to bring healing. He's going to bring a new heaven, a new earth. He's going to wipe away every tear. I love that passage. He's going to make all the wrongs right. That's why we look forward. And I think that helps us this morning to understand why those people were so discouraged, because they had thought he had come, and he had. They were just looking for the conquering king. But we know in Judaism, there's a belief there's a suffering servant and a conquering king, and they missed the suffering servant. He came first to suffer and die to set us free from our greatest enemy, which is sin. And we looked a couple weeks ago at the paralytic. You remember where Jesus is teaching and the house is completely surrounded, so crowded. But they knew, his friends knew, if we could get him to Jesus, he could make him better. And if you remember, they went up on the rooftop and they dug open the clay. They lowered him down in. What did Jesus say when he looked at him? He said, son, your sins are forgiven. I don't think he was playing games. I think he was saying that is your greatest need. Your greatest need is your sin. And then what people around, the Pharisees, their hearts got hard. They said, who is this man? Thinks he can forgive sin. Only God can. And Jesus, knowing that, said, looked at him and said, get up, take your mat and walk. And he looked at those men and he said, what was easier? What was easier to say? From a human perspective, it was easier to say your sins are forgiven, because how can you prove that? But I think what he was saying from a reality standpoint, from a spiritual reality, which was easier? For him, it was easier to make him walk than it was to forgive his sins, because we know how his sins were forgiven. That's why we're here this morning, because he went to the cross. He was in the tomb 3 days, and he rose again. That's how our sins are forgiven. That's why we're here to celebrate. We're here to worship, because we're going to face difficulty. We're going to face disappointment. We're going to face heartache. But it's because he lives, right? That's why we can face tomorrow. Because this isn't our home. We're just passing through. I've used this illustration before, and it doesn't work because infinity is forever. But if this was infinity, you know, what's 20 years? What's 30 years? What's 70 years? It's nothing. But we're going to spend eternity in the presence of the Lord. That's why it's so important we embrace Messiah for who he is. I love the part where it says, as he taught them from the prophets, their hearts burned. You know, that's how you know. I mean, you have the Holy Spirit, and we listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ, and you just get excited. And I can't wait to celebrate the Passover Seder, and I hope you can stay. It's a wonderful time to see that God promised. Talk about fulfilled prophecy. You want to talk about how Jesus went through the prophets and taught how he fulfilled it? You should see Passover. And I had a wonderful opportunity on Friday. My boss and his son are like non-practicing Catholics. And somehow it came up about what I was doing this weekend. And they said, what's Passover? You know? And I got to start preaching at work and get paid to do it. And I said, well, it's when the Israelite people were in bondage. You know, we now know, looking back, what was their real bondage? Was it Egypt? No, the real bondage was sin. Sin's always been our bondage. And I said that there was the 10 plagues on Egypt, and that final plague was the firstborn was going to die. And I said they took the spotless lamb, they slayed it, and they put the blood on the doorpost, and the angel of death passed over. And they were kind of like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. So they had some familiarity with it. But what an awesome opportunity to share your faith. I wasn't even expecting that. I sat through an 8-hour meeting that I wanted to slam my head in the door, and I didn't expect to preach at the end. But that's the wonderful part of the gospel, and that's what we're here to celebrate, that Christ fulfilled the Passover. Because remember, every single year, you know, before Christ, there was the tabernacle or the temple in Jerusalem. And before that, they had the tent of meeting. Remember, there's the Holy of Holies. That's where the Shekinah glory of God manifests itself. And there's only one man, one time a year, who could enter and be in the presence of God. And that was on Yom Kippur. That's when they sacrificed the lamb. And that's why it's so significant when Christ died on the cross, that veil was torn. Because now we, through the blood of Christ, who has the ability to forgive sins, because Hebrews says that the blood of bulls and goats didn't satisfy sin. It was temporary, but we now have a high priest whose blood has shed for us to always access God. So this morning, as we sit around the table, just recognizing that this is what Jesus was talking about on the road to Emmaus. He was showing them how in the prophets, how in all that God did in the entire Old Testament, all points to Christ. It all points to the final sacrifice. You know, I mean, the Jewish people, I read your article this morning about how the temple's gone. It was destroyed. And now they had to come up with a different way to satisfy the sacrifice because they can't sacrifice. They don't have the temple. They don't have the altar anymore. And every year they'd go and they'd sacrifice to draw near to God. Now they had to come up with their own way of doing good works and mitzvah and prayer and repentance. And when they have the truth is Jesus paid it all, once and for all. So as we are discouraged, as these disciples were, let's turn to the teachings of Christ. Let's turn to Christ and be encouraged that no matter how bad this life goes, no matter what discouragement we face, because he lives and he's coming again, we're going to hear about that too. Christ made a promise, and we cling to that promise, and we cling to that truth as we struggle, because life's going to be hard. Jesus told it was going to be hard. That's one thing that I struggle with. Anybody who's ever heard an altar call as a kid, I don't ever remember him talking about come up front and you're going to face trials, difficulties, persecutions, but the deal's worth it. I always hear about you don't want to go to hell, so you better come up here. But the truth is, he not only saves us from hell, amen, we definitely want to be saved, but he also sets us free for when we face these difficulties and these trials. You know, like when the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was sleeping, remember? And the storms rose up, and if you want to get a little piece of the Sea of Galilee, we have some over there. But they started panicking, and the thing to remember is these men were sailors. Some of these guys grew up on the Sea of Galilee, and they were thinking they were going to die, so it had to be pretty bad. What did Jesus say? He stood up, and he calmed the storm, and he said, "Yo, ye of little faith, why do you doubt?" Like, he had a mission. God's sovereign, and he had a mission. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Just look to Christ. And that's what I hopefully we see this morning is that, yeah, life's difficult. It's not going as planned. But God has a plan, and he's always in control. And just like he promised the Messiah in Genesis chapter 3, right when we first sinned, he already had a solution. He promised the Messiah. And he's been promising the Messiah all throughout Scripture to the point where his son came. And that's what we cling to, is the truth of the gospel. So as we're discouraged, as we go out from here, be encouraged. That's why we're about to sing, because he lives. That's how we have encouragement. That's what we have over every other religion. No other religion did their God come to earth, live as a man, to pay our penalty. Because we've got to stop and think. I mean, we deserve death and hell. That's what we deserve. We deserve to be nailed to a cross. That's what we deserved. No other religion has a God that came, paid the price to set us free. And when he comes back, you know, and the other thing is our God of love. You know, our God is love. That's how much he loved us, that he gave his only son. I don't know if we'll ever comprehend what that really meant, the depth of that sacrifice, because they lived in perfect unity, perfect harmony, and he took on sin, and our Father can't look at sin. You know, and he took that, he was nailed to the cross, and for 3 days it looked like it was over. And that's what we see here. They were downcast and sad because it looked like it was over, but he rose again. That's why we're celebrating. That's why we can celebrate. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much that you sent the spotless Lamb of God, and that he took on not only my sin, but he took on the sin of the world. And it pleased you to crush him, because you hate sin that much. And we worship and praise you and thank you that he did take our sin and gave us his righteousness. I don't understand that. I can't fathom what that means, that we're now clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And if we just bend the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you take our sin, you give us your righteousness, and that someday we'll stand before the Father as though we never sinned. You know, it's nothing in this life will ever earn us your love. Nothing in this life will ever earn salvation. You earned salvation. You paid the price. You're the spotless Lamb. And we praise and thank you that the third day you rose again. O death, where is your sting? Because in Christ we'll never perish. As Paul said, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. And Lord, as we struggle and we have comfort in the fact that our high priest, Jesus Christ, he was human. He felt the same emotions we do. He was abandoned by his closest friends who promised him, Lord, no matter what happens, we'll be with you. And they were all scattered. And they all denied that they even knew him. And you know what it feels like to be abandoned, betrayed. You also know what it feels like when your friend Lazarus died. It says that you wept. So let's take comfort in the fact that our Savior understands every emotion we have. He understands disappointment. He understands our struggles. He understands sickness and death. And most importantly, he always, always wanted us to turn and give our hearts to you, because he said, my burden and my yoke is easy. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. May we all this morning rest in the beauty of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And I just pray that everyone here has turned their heart to you. And if they haven't, Lord, I pray this morning that they would give their life to you, and that they would bow the knee to the Lordship of Christ. It's as the trials and difficulties come, you said persecution will come. Why? Because the world hated me, they'll hate you. But take heart that Jesus has overcome the world. We thank you for that victory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.